When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host, Ashley, and today I have on a returning guest, Julia Helena Haddis. Welcome, Julia, back to the show. So happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me on again.
Absolutely. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners or those who may not have heard the previous episode?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know me, I am the author of two books on magical mixology, so Witchcraft Cocktails and Moon Magic Mixology, as well as the Modern Witchcraft Book of Astrology. And then my Moon Magic Mixology book just recently turned into the Modern Witchcraft Book of Moon Magic. So I could dive more into the magic part, because you can only have so much space in a book where you can put everything you want. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming back. Yeah, last time we were on, last time we came together, we were talking a bit about your cocktail book, and that was such a cool conversation.
Yay.
So if anybody is interested in hearing that interview, please feel free to listen to it or check out Julia's books on said topic. But yes, yeah, so today we're going to be talking about her newest books, as she mentioned, the Modern Witchcraft Book of Moon Magic. And we're going to talk a bit about just moon magic.
Yeah.
So to start, I guess, you know, before we should get into this, can we get a little bit, or can listeners hear a little bit about your background and kind of how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, I love that. It's like, get ready for, I mean, I think all of us in witchcraft are like multifaceted and have a lot of interests and talents. So it's a little bit like of an all over the place thing for me. But yeah, I first started like when I was like 14. I feel like many of us, I was like looking for witchcraft my whole life and then finally found it, you know, growing up in a Catholic family. It's not like I actually knew that people were actually practicing. So it was just definitely this moment of like synchronicity when I finally, you know, found a way to express that. And just went down this path of learning as much as I can, you know, got into energy work, crystal healing, learning about astrology. And then I was like working at this little metaphysical store in the Bay Area of California for a while, and was working under three people who are now also authors. You know, they were authors before I was one, but at the time I was working for them, they weren't quite. So Storm Fairy Wolf, Chaz Bogan, and Devin Hunter. And so like, they're all experts, you know, in their own field and bring like a different knowledge. And so just working under them in the shop and being exposed to all of these different modalities, you know, working with herbs, candle magic, and just going further down that path of continuing my education. And then when I turned 21, I just decided to take a mixology class kind of on a whim. I had learned about it and I just fell in love with it, the storytelling aspect of making a drink, and instantly saw like, you know, here I am in a witchcraft shop putting together various herbs for an herb blend for money. Why can't I put those where they're edible into a cocktail or potion, right? And so I went down the route of developing my magical mixology stuff, starting my blog, and then that turned into my first book.
Amazing. Yeah. So to back up, I could definitely relate with the ex-Catholic portion.
Yes.
Of being a recovering Catholic is what I sometimes will call myself. But I can relate growing up with a Catholic background to that aspect. And then I love that you thought of that idea of like, well, why can't I, with your mixology class and with your background working in the metaphysical shop, of, well, if I'm putting these herbs together to make you know, a spell or something like that. Like, why can't I do that with alcohol and like different liquids and things that are edible that we can drink and enjoy? Like, I think that's such a cool concept. That's like that's like so amazing. Like, I think it's
No, and I love it too. And I just love like the history and the stories and like the myth of all of that. And, you know, I really dove into, like, I worked at a distillery for a while, you know, several bartending jobs, just because I was trying to like soak up all the knowledge. And I think the craft cocktail movement, you know, in the last 20 or so years really just added a lot of different ways that we can add herbal magic and intentions into our drink recipes of all kinds. So yeah, especially alcohol too. Like, it just, I love like thinking, you know, that its connection to alchemy, and even just before that with fermentation and how things like, you know, the history of agave, or, you know, even like making beer in ancient Sumeria, like how fermentation was always like a sacred process to our earliest ancestors, you know? So I get really nerdy and excited about that.
No, I think it's really cool. And I will say, like, when we did the witchcraft cocktail episode, I was so thoroughly impressed with your knowledge of everything regarding that. Because I was sitting here like, oh, you know, like that's such a cool concept. Like, maybe I can try to experiment with these different cocktails with your book and such. And then you had so much knowledge that I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much to this that like I was just so impressed by. It wasn't just like this superficial, like, oh, vodka, you know, can help with this and this can help with that. It was very, very well thought out and very educational.
Yeah, I love talking about that stuff and just doing in depth. I think a lot of times, like in witchcraft, like things go through trends, you know, and I'm just like really grateful for my professional experience in the bartending and spirits realm, because like even just the process of distillation and like working with those root ingredients, you know, like how gin is defined by juniper, you know, and the process of distillation and infusion and all those things. And it's awesome.
I love it. Well, if anybody's interested, that episode is the Witchcraft Cocktails episode, or you can also check out Julia's. You have two books on this, right?
Yeah. So the first one's Witchcraft Cocktails, and then the second one is Moon Magic Mixology, which I'm like totally happy to talk about because it's a great pivot point into this book.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So just kind of like tying, because all these things kind of come together. So when Witchcraft Cocktails was being prepared to launch, you know, I was kind of going back to my blog and doing moon mixology recipes because, you know, the moon is especially associated with liquid, and especially in like witchcraft, we tend to work with the moon for our spells and intentions, but also just the meaning of the moon and the various astrological signs has a certain, you know, theme or energy you can really tap into. And so I guess Adams Media like saw that, you know, and wanted me to do the Moon Magic Mixology book. And the thing is also like the other element there is like with the moon, especially to, you know, you think of like lunar gardening, right? I don't know if, I'm sure you've heard of it, but if people have heard of it, you know, like gardening with the moon, you know, how different phases of the lunar cycle are better for planting certain types of plants and things like that. And so especially like, you know, to the roots of civilization and farming and all that stuff, like the moon was a big part of nurturing things into growth, its connection to the seasons. And so it has a lot of ties to even modern day, like biodynamic farming with wine, they'll like do harvests with the moons and stuff like that. And so like the moon has this really cool tie into mixology too, that we don't necessarily think about right away. But it's there, you know, because it nurtures everything, you know, into growth in our life metaphorically. And then also, you know, physically with the life around us.
I mean, there's also, I know, plants that bloom at night, like moonflower, for example.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful plant. And I believe it's part of the Datura family.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong, but with Datura, if it is part of that family, which I'm pretty sure it is, but if it's not, or even if it isn't, Datura can be used as a flying ointment ingredient, which for those who don't know, those are things that can have like psychedelic type.
Yes. Yes.
So it's, that's a cool concept to think about. But yeah, I was going to ask like, what connection do witches have to the moon? But I think you kind of answered that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I think we all like everyone, we're all connected to the moon, but like in our modern life, we're not as aware of it. Like it's not just something you do in the new or full moon. The moon is always there, you know? And so the key is whether you tune into it or not. And there's a lot more research starting to be done on like the circa lunar rhythm of life. So not just the circadian of how we align to the sun, but also how the moon impacts us. And even just like in animals, like there was this cool study that I was excited about. I put in a book, and obviously we all know, but it's just like certain things of like how the paths or like what wildebeests would do during certain cycles of the lunar phase would change, right? So during like the new moon, when they couldn't really see around them, and there was like the possibility of being attacked by like lions, you know, they would remain kind of huddled in their groups. But as the moon became full, they would be a lot more daring to travel into other areas. And so it's just like every part of our lives, whether we realize it or not, is in tune in some way with the moon, but it's much more subtle, you know, the subconscious. And yeah.
So I know, kind of related to this, some friends and I were talking about planning a trip to go to Puerto Rico, and we wanted to go see the bioluminescent bay. And I chimed in and I said, hey, if we're going to go see the bay, we got to make sure we plan our trip to PR around the new moon. And my friends immediately just thought I had a witchy reason for that. And they were like giving me shit about it. And I was like, no, it's not because of witchcraft. It's because if you want to see the luminescence in the water, it's easier to see it when there's no moon in the sky. And they were like, oh, we thought you were just doing your witchy shit. And I was like, I mean, not no, but also that is not the reason
why I said funny. That. I love that. What, I've actually never heard of this. With a bioluminescent bay, and you said Puerto Rico?
Yeah. So there's bioluminescence in different water spots. I guess that's not really a word, but like different areas anyway. But yeah, so in Puerto Rico, you know how like in Avatar, like the blue people movie, they have like the water kind of lights up if you like touch it. Like that is a real thing that happens. I think it has something to do with the algae.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. It's in the one of the biggest ones is in Puerto Rico, and it's dying. So it's not going to be around forever. But if anybody listening ever wants to go check it out, make sure you go check it out during a new moon, because that is the best time and the easiest way to see it, because it glows. And if it's super bright out, it's going to be harder to notice it.
I love that because, well, first of all, like Puerto Rico is like a big place for rum. So I'm like, one day I'd love to go there. Oh, yeah. But also what you say, I've been like, sometimes I go on like through just small little gaming phases. And so it reminds me of, I don't know if you played Stardew, but there's like the whatever, the dance of the moonlight jellyfish in one of the seasons.
Oh, so yeah.
That makes me think of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, back to our topic. So let me ask, like, do you have an opinion of like, or I guess like, what in your opinion makes the moon such like a potent symbol and source of magical energy for witches or for cultures across history?
Yeah, I think that it's multifaceted. So there's just the astrological aspect, but also several layers of like, I don't know, I get really like hippie and poetic about it, but I just think about like
the moon of
being our earliest ancestor, right? Because it's made in part, you know, from the earth. And you know, also like the moon really like literally did nurture us. There's been evidence shown that like the moon has managed to slow the earth's wobble, so it's steadied the flow of seasons. Our seasons would be a lot crazier without it. Also the way the moon influences the tides to, you know, inspire water to interact with minerals and help with evolution. And also our days used to be a lot shorter, but because of the gravitational exchange between the moon and the earth, that it lengthened, you know, our day. So just even from that perspective, not to like pick and choose what I like from science, I think I need to be careful of that sometimes, you know, for witchcraft, but like in that way, the moon has nurtured us. It's really tied to the ancestors, like a window to the past, you know, as our earliest ancestor in a way. And also just, I think of like the realm of the subconscious, right? So the moon's associated with the element of water and represents in a way our sense of inner intuition, our sense of feeling, so our emotional landscape, but also our emotional landscape can indicate how we feel about our waking life, can indicate where there's patterns for us to heal or look at, or what we really want in life to lead a more fulfilling life. You have to be in tune with that. And also people, you know, who are empaths. So working with the moon can be really powerful for, you know, healing some things on the subconscious level, becoming more aware of your dreams and symbols, and navigating a life that's more meaningful for you, but having that fulfillment. Because some people say in astrology, the moon represents the soul. So it's tuning into that inner part of you that like maybe we don't think about on a day-to-day basis, but is giving color to life. So
that's such a beautiful explanation. I love that.
I'm like, well, I'm going on a tangent, you know, and I always sometimes I get afraid when I'm like, my words are going to come out wrong. So I'm glad it came across well.
I love that. And actually, so you brought up something I was going to ask you. So listeners will know I'm not super into astrology, but that doesn't mean I won't ask about it, because most people are in the witchcraft world are into astrology. So let me ask you, so how does astrology intersect with moon magic within your book?
Yeah.
Or does it?
Yeah. And this is one thing I always think is so fascinating, because the roots of astrology really do intertwine with witchcraft and religion and spirituality. Like the moon was one of the deities, right? But in modern day, like astrology is its own, you know, profession, and like witchcraft and magic is too. And so there's a lot of crossover, but like sometimes I listen to like different astrology podcasts and the way that they like, you know, I guess with witchcraft, sometimes we take a little bit of liberties in the way we apply those things, but that's just because magic is really subjective in the same way that like all of our birth charts are different. And there's ways that the moon and magic intercepts with astrology in the perspective of your birth chart, like where the moon is, your moon sign, like what, you know, and that can indicate kind of your emotional nature, you know. So for me, my moon's in Pisces. So, you know, my emotions are like very much, you know, in tune with the people around me. I kind of like to go with the flow more in an emotional realm. Maybe I'm like a little extra sensitive, if I'm being honest, you know, and I think in some ways it can also indicate, you know, patterns or areas for healing. It also relates to like the fourth house in astrology. So that's the area of kind of like your home. So that can indicate your early childhood life. It can indicate how you were nurtured and how you thus like to nurture other people as a result. So bring awareness in that way to your relationships in your life, of just your own emotional tendencies, you know, your subconscious patterns there kind of for healing and wounds. But also just in general, the sign that the moon is in adds specific nuance to, you know, your new moon, full moon, or any moon phase, whatever sign it's in can add nuance. So for example, you know, the new moon in Taurus can be a really great time to plant long lasting seeds, right? So it adds as long lasting seeds, because Taurus is like a fixed earth sign, you know, that likes to take its time to get wherever it's going, right? But it's very stable and secure in the way that it does that, versus like the new moon in Aries can be a really great time to focus on physicality, your sense of vitality, like taking action and getting certain projects going. So it adds like more nuance and flavor as to what kind of themes might be better or cosmically favorable to focus your magic if you want to go that way.
So I love that you bring up the moon phases and how it can affect magic, because that was actually going to be my next question. And so I guess I should ask, so within your book, with the moon phases and such, do you have your book kind of broken down into like, for example, like, you know, here are some things you could do with the new moon. And then is it like kind of broken down astrologically, or is it kind of just like looped in as like a whole, or like, how do you address that within your book?
Yeah. Sorry, one second. I have the sniffles. I also want to say you are like so great at asking questions and keeping things on topic in such a natural way.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, you're good. You know, yeah. But getting back to your question, sorry, ADHD moment.
No, that was very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. So as far as there's an actual section on the moon phases, and I will say there's like a lot of like different, when I do my witchcraft books, especially like through the Adams Media's Modern Witchcraft series, I'm aware that they're trying to speak to people who might be new. And also I generally, in my practice and in when I share information, try to have things be as accessible, give you information, but also you can adapt it in a way that works for you, because we're all different. And especially when it comes to certain moon phases, people might feel differently at different times. So when I have my moon phases section, you know, there's like, you know, each the new moon, then there's each part of the waxing cycle, the full moon, and then each part of the waning cycle. And so there is like, as astrology is woven into, like I talk about certain, like at the first quarter moon, you know, when it's half illuminated, it's actually forming, you know, square with the sun. So this also represents challenges. So it's kind of, it's infused in different ways, but I give a lot of different, I hope I'm answering your question.
No, you are. This is great.
Okay. I'm like, okay, I'm lost now. Like, you know, my own little tangent. So I put that astrology information like as far as like what that can mean astrologically, and then also magically, you know, some witches use it for this time or this time. I think overall for me, like something that kind of like slips into everything I do is just my basis and like energy work and being in tune with energy. And so there's lots of different ways you can pick something apart, but what's the overarching kind of themes that people may relate to at different times in their life?
Perfect. Well, I love that. I like that it's broken down a bit and how you explain that. I want to ask you a lot more questions about your book and about lunar magic as a whole, but we are going to take a short break and we'll be back in a moment. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list all in one spot. These are the type of gifts that will have all of your friends and family asking where you went shopping. Uncommon Goods scours the globe for original, handmade, and really amazing gifts. Somehow they have something unique and perfect for everyone. This year, I've decided that I want to gift consumables to my friends and family, and Uncommon Goods has me covered. One of the items I've been eyeing on their site is a Brazilian chocolate Brigadeiro sample. This sampler offers 5 different flavors of Brazilian truffles that are handmade and free of gluten, preservatives, and artificial colors and flavors. And it looks like a gorgeous box of chocolate that I'm sure any of my friends and family or even myself would like. The other item I've been wanting to try is the globally inspired pickling spice sampler. Over the summer, I had tried a jar of homemade pickles from a friend, and ever since then, I've been wanting to create my own pickles. This sampler has 3 different spice blends and is handmade from a woman-owned company. Shopping at Uncommon Goods lets you support artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so make sure you shop now before they sell it this holiday season. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Ashley. That's uncommongoods.com/ASHLEY for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Okay, welcome back. So I saw with your book, you have over 50 different spells and rituals based on the moon's phases. So how did you go about selecting and creating these?
Oh my God, this is probably where I went wrong, if I'm going to honest, because it is over 50. It's over 70 actually. So it's more.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. And I was like looking back and I was like, maybe I could have done less is more. In that area.
You know what? There's variety for everyone.
Yeah. And like I had to cut out 10,000 words. So I had to cut out a lot of spells. So, but yeah, let me just explain part two, let me look at my little table of contents here. So part one covers, you know, the basics of moon magic, you know, witchcraft and the moon, your inherent connection to the moon, the magic of the moon phases and special lunar events, seasonal moon spell casting. That's one thing I was really excited to talk about, because a lot of times when we talk about the moon, like, oh, it's the strawberry moon today. And it's like looking beyond just like what month the moon is, you know, of just that the moon is inherently tied to seasons. That's part of how all of our ancestors correlated, you know, when to plant and do certain things or do activities. So the moon was always tied to worship of the various seasons. So I was excited to dive in more there and explain, rather than just like what is the full moon of April or May, you know, what is the moon's connection to the seasons and those themes. And that was probably a tangent I didn't need to go into, but
It sounds great.
Yeah, because otherwise, like, another thing too is like my approach to all this stuff is like it becomes difficult when you have to look up every single thing, you know. So like, how can you practice moon magic in a way that you have this information, but if you're low on time, because we're all trying to survive these days, you know, of like just tuning into your intuition and knowing generally, okay, it's a full moon in spring, you know, so I don't have to go look up what specific moon it is. I can tune into what's happening in my life and what I generally know. So trying to make it accessible and adaptable in a way it works for you. And then part two, lunar correspondences, lunar spell casting. And then I tried to do a spell section for each of those aspects. So foundational moon phase magic, there's a bunch of spells in there. And my idea is generally to show people kind of what you can do. And there's an appendix in the back that you can alter ingredients or things according to, you know, moon sign or your intention. And so the foundational moon phase magic goes off of like spells to attune to different moon phases and also help support your new moon intentions or full moon intentions. Then there's the special occasion moon meditations, where it goes like, you know, it's a lunar eclipse. Here's a meditation and a ritual. Then the seasonal moon spells. So diving into spells that can correlate to the moon through the different seasons and energy you want to tap into. Moon sign spells. So like you already see this is like way too much. And then also moon deity spells and rituals to tune to specific moon deities. So
Ooh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's I probably should have like trimmed it down, but I was like, oh, if it's the moon in Cancer, like I want someone to be able to look at that and like know a couple things they can do, but then also they can use anything else throughout the book too.
Honestly, it doesn't sound like too much to me. I think that is like such a great layout that you have. I think especially for beginners, I love how you start out with like a foundational portion so they can kind of like learn what this is about and like have some things to start out with. And then it gets a little bit more in depth for people who might be a little bit more advanced or not even more advanced, just people who want to like try additional aspects of lunar magic. Yeah. So I think this sounds pretty great the way that you have it laid out. I don't think it's too much. And I know how much work can go into writing a book and looking all this up. So I definitely appreciate you taking the time and and doing all of the back end work for people like me who can read the book and be like, ah, it's already right here for me.
Thank you. I'm glad you feel that way.
Of course. And that is to say, though I do want to make a point for anybody listening. You do still have to put in work in the witchcraft. It's like, for example, if you want a, sorry, my cat is meowing as I'm saying.
I love it.
You can hear it. But just to give an example for listeners, like if you want a new job or you need a job and you do a job spell that you find from a book, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think that's great that you're looking and putting in the effort for that, but you also need to put in the effort to send out your resume, yes, apply for the job, follow up with people. It's not just a, all right, I like go with God, you know, yeah, just send it out into the universe. You have to also do the back end of it too. So this is more just to say that for people who are doing these types of spells, make sure you're also putting more than just, you know, purchasing the book and reading it out loud. Like you got to put some energy behind that too.
Yeah. And that's where I think like energy work comes into, because it's like you can do all the spells you want, but if you're not, if there's no way for that to come into your life, then it's not going to happen, you know, either like, you know, so yeah, there's a lot of work I think in witchcraft, but like, you know, it's not just casting spells. It's like everything underneath that too, of like doing the actual work to make things be able to come through.
Absolutely. So of all of these, you know, 70 plus that you have, do you have any that are your favorites?
Yeah. I mean, I like them all. I will say my go-to is like, I try to present to people is the intention setting, candle spell. That's just like super, can I swear on this podcast? Okay.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Super basic ass thing, but just like kind of like, you know, if you're setting intentions on the new moon, here's what I generally do, you know, with setting intentions with the moon. So that's like kind of like a go-to that you can also like always change out the herbs. Because the reality is like you can do so many complex rituals, but at the end of the day, if you're busy and you don't actually have the time to sit down and do the magic, like you can't stay consistent with it and it might not have as great results. Oh my God, that's such a cute cat. I'm sorry. And yeah, so it's just like that was like just some basic stuff in there for people, like, you know, when you're low on time, here's what you can do. I love the lunar lip scrub. I use that a lot. I kind of also use it on my face. That's not written in there with that intention and purpose, but you know, just so I love using that, and I use it a couple times a week. Let me see other things here, because I just, there's a lot and it's always hard to remember, especially like with all of the recipes that I do between my blog and books for cocktails, I always kind of forget.
Yeah, I saw there was a mention that you had some sort of like lunar tea as well. Like a
Yeah, and that, and some of those, so the Pisces moon tea that I put in here is adapted from a recipe in my blog. It's a little bit different because it's in the book, it's not meant to be alcohol focused, but there's a couple of like recipes I did put in for the seasonal moon spells, and those are, yeah, just too, God, it was so good. The wine moon sweet teas, like jasmine and grapes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking thinking about it right now. But yeah, there's like, let me see, what are some of my other favorite ones? So the Lunar Lip Scrub, the like, intention setting candle spell for when you're low on time. I do like the Apple Seed spell for the Taurus Moon. I just like the correspondence of like working with apple and apple seeds for Venus, and also, you know, planting things for longevity. And there's also the Waning Crescent candle spell that I put under the Aquarius Moon section. And that's one that I regularly do to cleanse energy in my space and also for myself, just kind of like using a lemon with the candle for that.
I've done those before.
I love those, you know, soothing wounds aloe spell, you know, under the Moon in Pisces. And then another one really is the Nana guided meditation under the Moon deity spells, because lapis lazuli, you know, has connections to that deity. But also, it, one thing that I, when I first started to use or do in witchcraft, was working with lapis lazuli for manifestation. And so I just love that correspondence with the moon to bring your stuff, your desires into being and manifest.
Lapis lazuli is also beautiful.
Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned this a little earlier, but in your opinion, like, what role does intention play in lunar magic?
Yeah, I think everything, and this is like the same way I feel about astrology and everything else in life, is it's like, it's a symphony, you know, or an orchestra. It's not like any one singular individual thing. It's the combination of all the thing, because intention is important. Intention, to, from my perspective, once I know my intention, it guides what herbs and aligned ingredients I use, as well as the actions that I take and working on other aspects. But intention obviously is not the only thing, right? You have to have the correct correspondences that align to it. Like, if I'm trying to manifest friends and I'm using black pepper, like, you know, or like cayenne, I don't, that might not have the desired effect of like friendly, inviting energy, right? So it all is important, the correspondences and how they align, but also the guiding intention that informs what ingredients you choose.
So I'm really glad you said that. A long time ago, I mean, it wasn't terribly long, but a couple seasons ago, I had an episode, and I believe the title of it was, Is Intention Really Everything? And I had somebody come on, they go by TJ now, and at the recording, we had this whole conversation about how intention isn't always everything because of things like correspondences. And we talked about things like making sure you use the correct thing for the correct thing. So for example, a lot of people will say, well, you can use rosemary for everything, but let's say you're making chili and you are out of chili pepper. Well, you probably wouldn't use cinnamon. maybe instead of chili powder, you use, I don't know, cayenne pepper.
Yeah,
you want to make sure you have things that are related to what you're doing. So anyway, I was just glad to hear you say that, because that's definitely a thing.
I love that. And I have to say, it's so funny you brought up chili, because my partner just finished the chili. He loves making chili. And so, like, you know, it was just, that was the meal he finished just a couple minutes ago. I'm like, oh, he might be tuned into what's happening in my home.
Oh my gosh. Witchcraft, something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I think that whole intention thing, like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes online on social media, like, with the hot takes and stuff, like, a lot of things get left out in translation, you know, of like, intention is important, but it's not the only thing. It's like a conversation between everything. So yeah, it's just funny sometimes to see the way that like things get, like a hot take happens and like everything else gets, all the nuance gets left out of that.
Yeah, I think social media is very good at doing that in the witchcraft community.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So do you have any advice for listeners or readers of your book who are interested in strengthening their connection with the moon? Like, maybe they've never worked with her before.
Yeah. So one thing I'll say is, so yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, all this stuff, honestly, like, if you're just getting started, it can be really overwhelming. And it is important to learn, but it's also important to be aware of your own, everything is subjective, right? And so a really great way to start working with the moon, so that way you don't get overwhelmed, because consistency is a big part of it. Like, part of working with the moon is consistency, because of its cycle, you know, correlates to daily habits and patterns as well. And so in order to really have an effective moon magic practice, if you're getting overwhelmed by like all of the astrology and everything like that, just start tuning into the moon, right? Seeing what phase she's in. Maybe if you want to look up what sign or not, you know, just record how you're feeling, you know, and that way you can kind of begin to notice. Obviously, there's a lot of other factors that can play into how you're feeling in a given day, but just start to notice themes and start to notice how the moon personally impacts you and your connection with it, because that way you have something you can always hold on to, whether or not you know what sign the moon is in and all that information. So I think that's like a great way to start, because the moon is our intuitive aspect, right? Tuning into your own inner moon, learning to trust your intuition and tune into that inner wisdom. That being said, I do believe in balancing that, like, you know, fact checking, you know, and referencing. You do want, we don't want to like be, putting out our personal gnosis onto others, you know, and sharing misinformation that way. But it is important to kind of, an easy way to begin working with the moon is just tuning into how it impacts you and beginning recording that. And when you have time, you know, researching and learning and referencing that to make sure that, you know, you're not just out there winging it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you had any advice for people who are new to moon magic, what to do, but I think you just covered it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing, is like remembering that the moon is tuning in to your sense of feeling, your emotions, your intuitive information. If your emotions inform any kind of relevant information on how you're feeling about your life, and also healing, it allows for healing. So that's kind of part of working with the moon, is tuning into that hidden part of yourself that maybe you aren't always aware of on a day-to-day basis, but is really there nonetheless.
Absolutely. And I love, like, you know, the longer you spend in the craft, the more you read and research, you can really see how layered things become. Like, for example, you know, you talked about the moon being associated with water, and water is associated with emotion. Water is also associated with the West, which in the Witch's Pyramid is T'Dare. And so there's so many different ways you could take this. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a little thought that came through my mind.
I love those kinds of things. Just all the layers of nuances and connections. It's like that whole thing of like everything becoming, you know, an orchestra or a symphony, you know, of all of the instruments playing together.
Absolutely. So what do you hope readers and listeners will take away from your book?
Oh my God.
That's probably a loaded question.
I'm like, oh, I don't, I think the key thing is having a basis of information to feel confident with working with the moon, but also having a basis with which to personalize it and make it work for you. Because that's one thing, is I think we're all so different, and you know, different things for all of us in different seasons of our lives. And so having a good basis of information, but also feeling empowered to tune into that inner wisdom and make things work for you. So not feeling like you have to do it a very specific way, but also having the information to support you in making guided choices.
Love that. And let me ask you one other thing. So if you could give one piece of advice to a beginner, does not have to be related to anything that we talked about today, or could be, what would you say to them?
Oh my God.
I always bring this on people at the very end.
Yeah, you asked me before, and I feel like it's changed in some ways. Because I think the key thing, it's like multifaceted. So it's two in one. So it's kind of the same thing of like, absorb information from various sources to have perspective and distance. What do I mean by that? Hold on. Because the thing is, like, I don't want people to be overwhelmed. But here's the thing, is there's so many different magical traditions and practices. And sometimes I found too, especially when I came into the witchcraft at a young age, and all the books from the 90s and like
all the Scott Cunningham and Silver Rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was actually one book, I wish, it's probably good that I don't remember who wrote it. I've never come across this book again in my life, and thank God. But it's like, sometimes when people are speaking, they're putting their personal gnosis into the works that they're doing. Like, it was like, yeah, this book that was talking about the Egyptian cat goddess Bast or Obes. And it was like talking about like she was a black panther. And I was just kind of like, what? Like, you know, like this is Egypt. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And honestly, Scott Cunningham's Wicca book is very UPG.
Oh, I had no idea. I didn't read that one actually. So yeah. You know, and that's the thing for me is, it's like, you know, it's, I think that there's a lot of wisdom and understanding that some people might speak matter of factly. So it's just important to look up at several resources so you can have a wide perspective of information. Don't get overwhelmed by all the information, though. You know, just kind of take notes and see what resonates for you and understand that that's what works for you. So that's like a combination of, like, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get information. You just want more than one source, and you have to be confident and willing enough to kind of personalize it and to sift through all of the information that's out there and find what really resonates for you.
I love that. And I love that key word you use of confident. Because I think when people are first getting into the craft, sometimes we feel that it may be easier just to take what you're reading at as that is how it is.
Yeah.
And that's why I know I'll encourage people to read any book, like anyone out there, and especially if it's about the same topic, read 100 Wicca 101 books and you're going to get a different result from every single one, because everybody has their own spin on how they explain things. And so, yeah, I think it's important to get that perspective or see what's out there, and then build your confidence to see what resonates with you and what actually works in your practice when you try it out.
Yeah.
I think that's super important.
Yeah. That's definitely, like, you know, my key advice for thinking of people starting off witchcraft, because it's easy to get overwhelmed, but at the same time, you don't want to just tie your rope to one single, you know, person or path, because you just never know where that could go, and it might not be what resonates best for you. So
absolutely. And that also goes too for people who are seeking covens. You know, just because there's a coven down the street from you doesn't necessarily mean it's the best fit.
Yeah exactly.
Well, Julia, it has been such a pleasure having you on. Please tell us where we can find your books and where we can find you on the internet. Where can we get in contact with you?
Yeah. So the two pages, this is part of the problem with doing magical mixology and general witchcraft stuff, because not everyone partakes in alcohol. So my main site, probably, that I'm on is Witchcraft Cocktails. That is my alcohol, not just alcohol. I do mocktails and non-alcoholic stuff on that blog too. So I want to be clear about that. But that's my magical mixology blog. It has links to all those social. Then I have my author website, Julia Helena Haddis. It's just general author that links to things. I just started a YouTube, so I'm excited about that, but it's a lot of energy. Yeah. I will say, this Mercury retrograde for me, I'm like, oh god, like, you know, I was so excited about editing YouTube videos and not anymore. But yeah, those are the kind of places to find me. My books are it's through Simon & Schuster, so it's pretty much distributed everywhere, but always, you know, support local if you can to your small witchy metaphysical shops. And it's also great if you request certain books to them too. So it's a great exposure for witchcraft authors. So yeah, those are the places to go to connect.
Amazing. And I just want to back this up. Don't be afraid to ask your local metaphysical shops to bring in the books. They are more than happy to find the books that appeal to their customers. So please, please, if they do not have it, feel empowered to ask them. They're going to be more than happy to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. When I worked at a metaphysical bookstore for a time, I was actually like doing the book orders and stuff. So I was one of those people. Yeah. Like, we would get book requests all the time. So it's totally normal and expected. So yeah, definitely don't be afraid.
Amazing. And if anybody is interested in finding me, you can find me on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft, Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast. There's a Facebook group called Witches Seeking Witchcraft if you have any questions or want to talk about the show. And if you are interested in supporting the podcast, you could do so at patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. All right. Well, that about wraps it up. Julia, thank you so much for coming back. I always have such a good time talking to you. Like, this is so fun.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I love talking to you too. You're such a great interviewer and podcast host. I've been on a lot of podcasts. So like, I just really appreciate, like, it's just very natural talking to you. So yeah.
Thank you very much. I that means a lot. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, bye everyone. Bye. Talk to you next time.